Scott Milliken is computer facility manager at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory at the Department of Energy, presenting recently at the Data Center World Conference in Las Vegas. And you detailed a process there, Scott, where you came in and found kind of a jumble. What was the process that you used to identify the situation as you had it and then built your business case for how you wanted the situation to look? Thanks for joining me today, Scott.
Absolutely. My pleasure. So basically, I came in and found kind of a tale of two cities or a tale of two data centers. So we had the data center with the large supercomputing systems, which, you know, those are multi-million dollar systems. They're very well engineered. The entire process of getting them in place is a very long process with lots of moving parts, lots of people involved. So they had good project management involved in setting those in place. So those were not the problem children, so to speak. But the lab actually supports computing programs for a lot of other Office of Science research programs. And these are programs that are going to be much smaller in terms of scale and in budget. So you'll have a lot of projects that maybe don't even take up an entire cabinet worth of data center space. So whenever somebody had added something into the data center, it was pretty much a case of, well, go find a place that's empty and put your equipment in there. And so there wasn't really any overall guidance to the users that said, hey, here's how we should kind of grow in a smart manner. It was more of a case of go west and prosper, kind of like the Great Western expansion of the United States. So unfortunately, after several years of that, it had gotten to the point to where there was a lot of conflict in terms of the power distribution, and it was not really easy for us to schedule downtimes or to even schedule expansions because, of course, being a Department of Energy national laboratory, anytime we need to do electrical work, we have to look at safety first. So that means shutting down any panels that you're going to be working in before you do any of that work. So we got to the point where there was lots and lots of downtime, and there was also lots of unplanned outages because we didn't even have a good record of who was affected when we had to go into a panel. So the first step was to basically do a mass inventory. We had to identify everything that's in the data center, who owns it, and how is it connected to each other and how is it connected to the facility.
How did you go about doing that? That strikes me as a monumental task when you have, I mean, it sounds like you have bits and pieces floating around all over the place.
We did. And so, you know, I like to use the analogy, you know, how do you eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time.
Okay.
And that's exactly how we had to approach this. So I had support from multiple teams, so this is definitely not anything that I did all on my own. But I engaged the facilities management group to go through and try to trace out as much of the power as possible. And we were able to identify 98-99% of all the circuits within, you know, absolute certainty. There were a couple that may have shared conduit, and it's either this outlet or that outlet, but at least we knew we'd narrowed it down to a couple of things. So they did a huge effort in getting our panel schedules up to date with tracing out where the circuit actually was. And it's not that they hadn't documented it when they ran it. It's that in the computer room, you can, you know, run something in flexible conduit, and when somebody actually goes to install something, they need power. So they may pull the floor tiles up and say, oh, I see power over here. Well, they drag it 12 feet away from where the panel label originally said. So the panel labels were all out of whack from everybody moving things around. So that was one step. The other was I engaged our operations staff, which is our 24/7 staff. And, you know, typically there's going to be some downtime in that type of staff where they've got a little bit of extra cycles. So we had them do a complete physical inventory of what is in the data center. So once we got that complete physical inventory of what's in the data center, we started trying to make sure that we could figure out who actually owned it, because some things were not labeled, and we weren't even sure exactly who necessarily owned it. So we had to kind of do a little bit of detective work. Sometimes you'd have to search and try to find a property tag that was on there if it was tagged equipment and trace it out to figure out who it really was. And sometimes we had to engage the networking group if it wasn't a tagged item. so that they could kind of figure out who had originally registered the system. So it took us a while, but we were able to get a pretty good idea of exactly what was in the data center, who owned it, and, you know, who would be affected in the event of an outage.
Scott Milliken of the Oak Ridge National Laboratory, it strikes me that the next logical progression is once you know what everybody has and who everything belongs to, the next step is to figure out what capabilities each of those stakeholders really need and then figure out how to provide that capability to them. Is that the direction that you went in, Scott?
Well, really, so the next step was to figure out how to keep from getting into that same position again. So while we had a good idea of what our overall capacity was, because we, you know, we have meters and we know roughly how much floor space we have, et cetera, really the big issue was, you know, coming up with a process and communicating it out to the community so that they knew how to engage to get things into the data center, to get things out of the data center when it was end of life, so that, you know, we could keep everything up to date.
That process doesn't just include, though, a technological aspect. It strikes me that given the way that your teams are able to bring were able to bring information technology in, that there's a process change you needed too.
There is a process change. So basically, we kind of developed a form because, you know, government loves to have forms that people fill out, right? So we have a form that you fill out that kind of gives us a little bit of an idea of what your project is, and then it comes to me and I determine, is this a kind of a rubber stamp simple project to do, or is this something where we need to engage facilities and do facility modifications, et cetera? So we classify it in one of those two. And most of the systems that come in are the ones that get the rubber stamp. And so we have, we can go down a long path of how we actually accomplish this. But one of the reasons why we had so much variation in the data center and the reasons why we had so many documentation issues was because everybody was getting different things. And it's okay for people to get different computer things, but when they're getting different cabinets and different power strips and different plugs that they needed under the floor, that's what was causing us to have to go into the panels and create these outages. So we standardized, and we also realized that if we just went ahead and purchased the cabinets and the power strips for the user base, they didn't have to make that decision, which, you know, as I say, it wasn't necessarily a wrong decision. It was just that it was different. And when you're trying to manage something with a very small staff, variation is your enemy. You want to have standardization so that you can say, okay, everything in my data center is like this. If it's not like that, it's wrong. And it's easy to fix.
Scott, the result of this has been what? How is your operation different now than it was when you undertook this effort?
We are much more efficient at being able to deploy systems. So our wait times, if somebody comes to me and says, "Hey, I've got a new system that needs to come in," other than, you know, so we have some times of year when there's a lot more activity than others, but on a general note, people can come to me and say, "I need to get this system installed," and we can have it done within a matter of a day or two. When I first started here, it was more like 2 to 3 weeks from the time that you would request until something came in. There's also a lot more visibility on my end. I know about things ahead of time because people have got this process that's been communicated to them. They know that before it shows up, they need to go through an approval process. Which is this permit or the form that we came up with. And then the other thing is I can keep ahead of how much capacity I've got because now that we've got everything documented, I can pull reports that say this is what your capacity is, and if I start to run low on it, then I know I need to provision more space for the next customers that are coming along. And then as we're very cyclical, I can also take a look at the past and say, okay, around this time of the year for the last 3 years, we've kind of had an increase in the amount of space that we need or the number of machines that are coming in.